Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's easy to design impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Let's go! Welcome to Thursday Show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, let's go around the room and check in with everybody. If you're out there listening, thank you for listening. Hope you're having a great morning. Unless you're listening on podcasts, then I hope you're having a great midday or afternoon or night. Eddie's at first. He's been going to training camps and football teams. And this year, his team still won't be the champs.
Okay.
Lauren writes these, dude. She hates the Cowboys.
I don't know.
She makes fun of the Cowboys or your bald head, everyone.
Okay.
All right, here he is. Eddie!
Look, guys, I'm not bragging, but I think I'm more famous than Lunchbox.
Oh.
I'm telling you, I'm not bragging. It's just fact.
Reaction to that Lunchbox.
Go ahead and keep dreaming, dude.
Go ahead.
So it was my son's birthday last week. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bring you some lunch. So we picked up some Subway. We went over to lunch. We sat in the cafeteria. And I'm telling you, there was a line of probably 10 kids wanting my autograph. I mean, they were ripping up napkins with pencils, like, Producer Eddie, can I get your autograph? At one point, I had to say, guys.
You brought this up, though, is a little cringe, as they would say. The fact that you brought it up.
So you signed 10 autographs?
I'm just telling you what happened. Yeah.
But I mean,
they want autographs?
But you're like, I'm more famous than Lunchbox. That part to me is like,
well, because I knew it would make him mad.
Are you just driving crazy? Okay, so if that's the reason, I removed the cringe tag.
Of course,
it's
to make him mad.
Then it's just hilarious. Okay.
Well, and my question is, Lunchbox, you ever gone to your kid's daycare and have they asked you for autographs?
Dude, my kid is 3 and 1. They don't know what radio is. They're kids. I went to my niece's school, and the lady at the front office almost choked on her breakfast.
What happened? Did you hit her?
No, I was going to have lunch with my niece, Kennedy, and I walk in the front office, and the lady goes, can I help? Oh my God.
You almost killed somebody with your fame?
What did you do?
She almost choked on her breakfast.
Wow.
And my wife had to say, can you swallow your breakfast, please? And she was like, oh, my God. Cindy, come here. And they flipped out. I mean, it was like the Beatles had walked in.
Wow. Wait, but just to the receptionist.
Yeah, I almost, you had a bunch of kids that are like 8.
That's what was weird. Like, 8-year-old, 9-year-old kids.
They knew who, they just saw one person freak out, and then they're like, well, I think we should get some guys autographs.
Maybe. Thank you.
Maybe he's a...
Even one of my son's friends who I coached.
Or his son paid his kid to give him $10, say, hey, when I show up, go up and act like my dad's
Man,
famous.
That ain't gonna happen.
I didn't do that.
Finish your story there. What were you saying?
I said one of my son's friends who I coached in basketball, he was telling the whole line, like, hey, he was my basketball coach. Yeah.
Did it make you feel good?
No. It actually
did. It make you feel good that your kid maybe thought you were cool because of that and not my dad is a loser?
He had a big smile on his face.
That's cool. So that's cool.
That was cool. But then he said too, like, Dad, it's my birthday. I'm like, you're right. No more autographs, please. I had to stop the line.
Oh,
I'm
birthday.
So like, I don't understand how I feel right now.
It was weird.
Just, this is whole thing brought up because it's weird to bring it up. I'm like, that's what a losery thing to bring up. No offense. But also, if you're only doing it because to irritate Lunchbox, that's hilarious and it's not losery at all.
I think I did irritate him, though.
No, I mean, I can just go over the examples in the last week. I was on the shuttle at the airport and there was a guy and a girl and they were like, I think that's him. And she was like, no, how crazy would that be? And the guy pulls up his phone. He's like, look, that's him. And she was like, that's no way. We're going to have to listen to the show. Like, that. Are you sure? And I was like, I was just sitting there like, yep, they know it's me. But okay. They were scared. Anyway, they were intimidated to say anything, but they were looking at pictures on their phone to make sure it was me.
You two, just a battle of fame over there.
The kids at the school knew it was me.
Lights can't shine bright enough for you two, you know what I mean?
Wow.
He'll cause a scene anywhere, and he rides his bike everywhere. Here he is, Lunchbox. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I found out, guys, that I might have been a water buffalo back in the day. In my past life, I don't know, but for some reason.
Do you believe in past lives?
Not really, but we were at the zoo in Colorado, and the water buffaloes were all the way on the other side of the pen, laying down in the shade, all of them. And I just started going, meh, meh, and they all stand up.
Because you were making a noise.
Like you were their god?
Yeah, exactly. Like I was their god. I was calling them, and they come meandering over to me.
So you think you know that? Like, that is somehow inside of you because maybe you were a water buffalo before.
Yes.
That's what they sound like?
Amy, I don't know.
But he never even heard one, but he knew how to talk to them.
I knew how to talk to them.
Oh.
And you guys, listen, here's me at the zoo.
That's you.
It's talking to you.
Where are you, though?
I was the first person.
No way. I thought that was a buffalo.
That was me.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me hear it again.
That was me.
He might have been a buffalo, everybody. Play again. Dude, you were a water buffalo or something.
It's talking to you.
That sounds like a real buffalo. That's you?
Yes!
You got that guy to come all the way over here.
You finally found your talent, your skill.
That's his thing.
That's it.
Oh.
It was
It's like
so
whenever Joey's
crazy.
Hand has, is an exact hand replica in the guy in Vegas. And he's like, we're hand twins. And he's like, yes. So he goes, no, we're going to make a lot of money doing this. He is a water buffalo impressionist.
Wow.
It was crazy. I mean, he came all the way over to, and it was just so, like.
Did you make love?
No, we didn't make love. But I felt like that guy on My Octopus Teacher, you know what I mean? How you
We thought they were going to make love, yeah.
Wow.
That's cool, though. I like, you do sound like, that's a good job. That's good.
Can he do it live here?
You have to ask the man.
Yeah.
It's his own talent.
Hold on. I got to be in the mood.
Well, I don't know. Are we prepared for
to do what? Make love?
I was just there. Like, I the saw studio. Them and they were laying down.
Oh, the walls start crumbling because yes. Water buffaloes are coming from all over the land. Go ahead.
Yeah,
pretty good. It's early in the morning, you know?
Yeah. It's off strong.
It's not warmed up.
Yeah.
But here, listen to it again.
No, we're good. We're good.
Hit it.
I know, that's good.
That's good.
All right, moving on. She owns a lot of pair of boots, and her sister has a show called Building Roots. Here's Amy.
Ooh. Oh, which the season premiere is this month on the 17th. And then my episode's on September 24th.
Oh, cool.
The Sunday we go back
on
from
HGTV?
iHeart. On HGTV.
That's cool.
They're doing a whole episode from Nashville.
What time is it? Oh, I'm busy.
It doesn't matter what time it is.
Exactly.
I thought it was going to the rocker.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm just feeling a little sore because I had a major slip at my house. I was running with weights because I was excited. I found them. My friend was over. Gracie, we were working out. And
running
I
to show them to her? Look what I found.
No. We had already started the workout and we needed little hand weights and ankle weights and I couldn't find them. And I was like, wait, I know where they are. So I run to get them and I run back and I'm like, Never give up. And then I slide on a mat that we had laid down on the hardwoods because normally we're on the floor. But
you slept like a pratfall?
Like, yeah, like it was like a banana
three
peel.
Three Stooges?
Like yes, like my feet were like, and then the mat just slid. And it was, luckily, I had to see my chiropractor after and he said that I'm very lucky I was carrying the weights because it kept me from putting my, instinctually, you put your arm down to catch yourself. And he goes, that's normally how people hurt themselves.
Break your wrist or something?
Yeah, or it jams the shoulder back up in there.
Think about you having a date with a broken wrist.
Oh, I'm Amy.
Right, I know. But the ankle weight in the other hand flew up. And when I landed on the ground, it landed on my face.
Where?
It was right here on my, like around my orbital bone. I was so scared I was going to have a black eye. But we're good. And
be sore?
I I am sore. I'm very tender, but I got adjusted. My shoulders were uneven. Like, when I stood up, my left shoulder was way higher. But all this to say, if you fall, try not to...
Catch yourself.
Stick your hand out.
That's not in, that's instinctual. Yeah.
I know, but like they say, if you're in a car wreck, like, be loose.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you do that?
You don't. You tighten
but
up. That's
why,
what humans
don't
do.
Don't they say that people that are intoxicated have a better chance of survival because they're loose?
What was your friend's name?
It doesn't matter what your friend's name is.
All right, Ray, go ahead. From Mountain Pine, Arkansas, he uses a Sharpie to black things out, and if he messes up, he'll pout. Bobby Bones.
Thank you. Ooh. That's true. I'm pivoting. I'm calling Audible. Blue 13. Audible on my story this morning. I just got a DM that I'm going to read here on the air.
Come on.
So my other thing was about a song. I'll get to it tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday. This is from Next Level Travel Advisor.
Yes!
Stop it!
Yeah! On Instagram. So this is the guy that messaged Ray and said, hey, I'll send you on a trip. All you got to do is like post about me, whatever. He wrote this. Hey, Bobby, thanks for the segment today. Sorry I didn't reach out to you. If you need anything, hit me up. By the way, I did not ask for Ray's social security number. We don't need that.
Oh. Clickbait.
Ray went on a whole thing, and then we followed him into the cave.
Because that was the scam that we were
worried
about.
Yeah, and we're like, why would you give your social? And he's like, we never asked for that.
Oh. I mean, I'm pretty sure we did. Or our passport number, something very important.
Okay, but there's a big difference, though, if you have to go... Yeah. Like, if you have to use your passport and put the documentation down.
I believe it was that. And pictures
of
it.
No, you said social security number.
No, I mean, they're all the same.
They're not the same.
A picture of your passport and your social, Eddie?
But they're not the same.
No, different.
I would say a picture of your ID is more important than your social.
I mean, am I an idiot?
Yes.
Yeah, you're pretty much an idiot.
Your social is like your one.
Okay, I'll give it on the air. Let me know what happens to me.
All right, do it.
Go ahead.
Please.
I dare you.
Greatest bit ever.
Wait, did it?
Oh, my God. If you did that as a bit, employee of the month for 6 months.
Come on, right?
Lifelog.
I think they're all equal. I mean, I'm sorry I didn't get the exact one correct.
But I guess his point is...
So would you rather give your driver's license number out?
Every day.
Yeah, take it.
Don't give all your social.
I'd rather give my home address than my social.
I'd rather
send a nude to everybody in America. Hey, Ray, anyway, he did not ask for a social security number, so I just want to cover his base.
My bad on the semantics.
No, not semantics. Big difference.
Yes.
When you're talking about, like, a company, you know?
Yes. So he's not going to give it out?
On the air? I don't know. That's that'd be the funniest bit ever. Even if you gave it out, like, unorganized. We had to like figure it out.
There's so many combinations.
Yeah, who cares?
That's tough.
Who cares?
Okay. So, but no, it's like Price is Right. Only two of the numbers are mixed up.
Oh.
Okay.
Next Level Travel guy.
Mm-hmm.
He replied back to me and said that they're going to Alaska in 2 weeks on Princess, which is the name of a boat.
You tell me you're busy.
No, but he said that he knows my sister and I've always been talking about going on Alaskan cruise, and he's got a lot of different companies.
We don't do ads for this guy. Everybody.
No, I didn't even.
No,
say
I know.
Name.
I'm talking to our listeners. This is just us talking about. We thought Ray was getting scammed, and then Ray said, "I gave him a social." Then we're like, "You got scammed."
But now
I'm just
we're all
covering
go.
For him that you did not. He did not ask for your social.
No, but I mean, we're building him up. He's a pretty big business right now.
Ray's like, I don't know my age or my social. I don't remember what he asked.
Same thing.
Yeah, same. They're numbers.
All right. But like, if he says I can go, can
no,
I?
No.
What?
I'm not your dad, and no, we have
next
to work.
Summer.
That's
next
what it sounds
summer.
Like.
Yeah, dad. Okay, if John says it's okay to stay home, can
no,
I?
No.
No. Not
all right, that's it. Thank you. All right, let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. My girlfriend and I just moved into a new apartment. On the day we moved in, our downstairs neighbor stopped us on our way in and ranted about how awful the previous tenant was and how they made life living very difficult for him. We unfortunately gave him our number and told him to text us if he ever had a problem. Big mistake. He sends us messages every day complaining about the noise or our parking job or our guests or anything he could think of to complain about. It's gotten to the point of harassment. We don't know what to do about it. We've told the landlord. He suggested we change our phone number and ignore him, but that's not really an option. What should we do? We are being reasonable. We're trying to be good neighbors, but this guy's obviously suffering from some issues. Signed, harassed neighbor. I knew at the beginning of this, when that neighbor was complaining, he was just a complainer.
Yeah.
I felt like there's really nothing. You can do two things. One, you can ignore, or two, you can get back at him.
Oh, yeah, no.
But that's it. Those are the two options.
But then this is like, this is your home. Getting back at him is only creating more drama.
Have Phil McCoy, part two.
If it's to the level of harassment.
Yeah, he says that. It's gotten to the point of harassment. I get it. It's probably annoying as crap. Mm-hmm. You can move. But again, you're letting him dictate your actions. I would just ignore him.
Yeah, you like ignore it and then it goes away?
Yeah.
Because maybe he's looking for attention.
Even if it doesn't go away, I'm still ignoring it.
Oh, get a new number.
Absolutely. You can do that. Ignore it that way. But I just ignore it.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything wrong. As you can see, the common denominator is this neighbor that sucks.
Which is a real bummer because you could have gotten the other end of it and had such an amazing neighbor experience. Like, I'm jealous of some of my friends that have amazing neighbors. I do. I have some great ones. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, they're the same age. They have all kids the same age. It's so easy. They all hang out. Kids are running in and out. I don't have that in my neighborhood necessarily, and some people do. And it's like, I want to move to one of those neighborhoods purposefully.
You can always write a message on a brick.
Throw it
through the window.
No.
But be generic. And like, there's more where that comes from.
Or just try to create a relationship. Maybe you create that good relationship.
I ain't
with
having
him.
A relationship with
Maybe
this
he needs love.
Ain't getting it from me. I don't have time to go and raise some dude from childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what he is. Intellectual. There's a 7-year-old, emotionally, intellectually.
What's that movie called? Man Otto?
Uncle Buck.
Man Called Otto? Oh. Tom Hanks?
I never saw it.
Kind of like that, where like he's just a moody, moody neighbor, but they showed him grace and he ended up being really close to everyone.
Yeah, really. Good point. I cried
well,
a lot.
Well, then watch the documentary, A Man Called Otto.
That's a movie, man.
I would just ignore it, honestly. He's never going to be happy.
I would give him love.
Take him to church. Thank you. That's the mailbag. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Dad rock. That's what they call it. Dad rock. Dad rock, the definition from the Oxford Dictionary, rock music that appeals to an older generation or that is heavily influenced by that of an earlier era. So there's classic rock and we were younger. That was classic. And now there's dad rock that we listen to. So are these bands already dad rock? I'll list you the band by what you know about it. Dad rock, yes or no? Number one, Linkin Park.
They still rock.
Here's Numb. You can still rock. But people that are 23.
Definitely dad rock.
Right? Like, are mostly just dads enjoying how it used to be? Because they're not a lot. I mean,
Chester's but I'm thinking if the kids are still listening to this.
They do.
They're not.
Oh man. They're not listening to this.
And it's even more dad to be in denial that it's not dad.
That's really dad.
So Lunchbox, you go no?
No.
I go dad rock.
Dad.
Sadly, yes.
Okay. How about Fall Out Boy? Sugar, we're going down.
Oh no.
Here we go. Okay. Fall Out Boy, dad rock?
Dad.
Dad rock.
No, man, they're still kids. Pete Wentz, right?
They're not kids. However, they're still putting out songs on pop radio that are hits. They have a song. They did a We Didn't Start the Fire. It was always
Billy Joel?
Yeah, they did a whole new version of it that came out like 3 weeks ago. With different lyrics.
And it's pop music. That's what the kids are listening to.
So, but that is getting played.
Okay.
So let's go.
I don't even know if we have that, right? Do we have their version of that? We Didn't Start the Fire? It was Lucy, Jews, Bet, Everybody Gets Dead. Know that song?
Come on,
I'm dance down.
I know the original one.
Yeah, I don't know. The new one, I just heard it once, and I was like, that sucks. But they did a new version of like the last couple years.
Okay.
So what do you think?
No, because they're still making.
Boom.
Yeah, they're still making music. How about Sum 41, In Too Deep? Sum 41. I'm going to go pure dad rock. Pure. It's no purer because they're not doing anything anymore. The only version of them that exists is whenever dads now were young then. Amy?
Dad.
Eddie?
I'm pretty sure I played this in the Jeep with my kids and they're like, what is this crap, Dad? It's dad rock.
100%. It takes me back to like American Pie days. That's dad rock.
How about System of a Down? Dad rock, yes or no? Amy.
Dad.
It's hard, though. This is me denying it. Oh, no.
Yeah, you can't deny
it. It's Dad Rock. I hate to say it. It's down. Dad Rock. You?
I think it's Dad Rock.
You? Dad Rock. I don't even know who that is.
System of a Down? No.
I think I've heard that song maybe, but I'm...
It's like Rage Against the Machine. And I didn't pull a clip up, but is Rage Against the Machine
Dad Rock? No.
Rage Against the Machine is like one of the greatest bands of all time.
But and you're not a dad.
Like Zach De La Roca, one of the greatest rock singers ever.
Yeah, come on.
Come with it now.
Bulls on parade.
Oh, no,
I feel like y'all are going Uncle Rico on
that's
rock.
That's Dad Rock. No, we're going Dad on Dad Rock. Okay, My Chemical Romance. We got
Dad.
Dad Rock, man.
Dad Rock.
You know, I'm not even classified as Dad Rock. They have much rockier, harder things like when they started. It's Dad Pop.
Oh. Okay, but it's still Dad.
Oh, I just offended Mike D, who's a punk. Come on over, Mike D. Go ahead. You're offended at what?
This is like all my music. Sum 41, My Chemical Romance, Blink-182.
Yeah, but is it Dad Rock?
I don't have kids. Am I a dad? Do I listen to Dad Rock?
But you don't have to have kids to be
it's
dad.
It's like millennial
dad
rock.
Mm-hmm. How about Dad Pop? You feel like My Chemical Romance is more Dad Pop than Dad Rock?
I would say more Dad Pop.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Is that it?
No, there's like 100, but I'm tired of feeling sad. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
Because this stuff like 3 Days of Grace. I hate everything about you. Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that.
Or like Muse.
Oh, Muse. Oh. That's not Dad Rock.
I think it is. Deftones. That's harder, but still. Like Morgan Deftones. You know, ever heard anything
about? No.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
This is like our workout playlist, man. Did you tell me we're working out to Dad Rock?
Oh, no.
Dad Vibe.
I hate me right now.
Dad Rock.
This is Fall Out Boy, and this is their song. Ray, what's it called?
We Didn't Start the Fire.
Same name. Okay. So.
Billy Joel cover.
Yeah, but changed. It's a fine line between totally goofy and fun, and I think it falls on fun.
Interesting.
It is. It's fun. At first, you're like, oh, I don't know, because I like the old version, too.
So what were the old version verses?
The 80s stuff. We played that, right? No, we didn't mind, but we tried to find it. Joseph Stalin,
Allen called Nasser in for coffee, all Rockefeller, Campanella, communist. Okay.
So it's like 80s stuff.
I like it.
I do, too. And at first, I was like, oh, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Oh, no.
Hey, he said Tiger Woods in there.
Yeah. Fukushima Japan.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, dude. I like that.
You hadn't heard it, though, huh?
Uh-uh, never heard that.
Me neither. I like it.
So I'm not going to classify them as Dad Rock.
Yeah, because they have a new song.
Current rock like that as soon as they're done, though, goes immediately to Dad Rock. Okay.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie. Tell me something good.
So there's a gas station clerk in Kansas City, Missouri. He's sitting behind the desk, the counter, and he's like checking people out. He sees an old man walk in. He's got a lot of money in his hand, and he's on the phone. He goes over to this Bitcoin machine. It's almost like an ATM machine. And he walks up there and he's like, okay, put 100 in. Yeah, puts 100 in. And he's talking to the person on the phone. He's putting $100 bills over and over. So then the clerk goes, this something's not right. He calls the police. The police get there. Turns out he's on the phone with a scammer. And the scammer's telling him to deposit more money into the machine. So the cops get the phone, start talking to the scammer. Scammer freaks out, hangs up. They get a hold of the old man's daughter. Yes. Turns out he had already given thousands of dollars to that scammer.
No.
But he had more money in his hand that he was going to give. And it wasn't for that clerk kind of looking out for the old man. I guess it could have been way worse.
I just heard there's a Bitcoin machine somewhere. I need to go get in it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen them before. Like, I've seen them on the internet where you go, it's like putting in and getting stuff out, like the chips.
Yeah, it's like cashing out your Bitcoin over there.
Crazy. But good for that gas station. Got guy working there.
That was terrible.
Was aware, helped the dude. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person. Anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go over and talk to Lauren in Oklahoma. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so you're in Oklahoma. That is the home of Sonic. Did you know that, Lauren?
Actually, when I was in sixth grade, we kind of prank called Sonic to ask them where they got the name. And I guess it came from the Sonic Boom.
I didn't know that.
That's a weird prank call, though.
And how about an educational prank call?
They wanted to learn something.
These are the kind of kids I like. They're calling places going, excuse me, Dairy Queen. Tell me about the Queen of Versailles. What? So here's the thing. I'm going to give you a chance to win a $50 Sonic gift card right now. We're going to play the Bobby Feud. Pick Amy, Lunchbox, or Eddie to play for you. Lauren, any of those three.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm sorry, Lunchbox. We're
going to
go with Eddie.
All right,
Let's
Eddie.
Go.
You're representing her.
You're going to go hungry.
We rolled the dice, and Eddie will go first as well. The category is, according to the new Harris poll, these are the most polarizing foods in America that Americans hate.
Polarizing.
Americans hate this food. What are they? Top 10 answers on the board.
I don't even understand.
Eddie, you're up.
I'm going to go with olives.
What
give me olives.
Do Americans hate
number
the
one?
Most? Show me olives. Number eight answer is olives.
Gosh, I saved that one.
That's 8 points.
I think Americans hate ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing. Show it to me. All right, Amy, over to you.
Sardines.
Show me sardines. Lunchbox, what food do Americans hate?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Oh, boy. This game's impossible.
I love tomatoes.
Well, yeah, but it's polarizing. Some people love them, some people hate them, right?
No, I said hate. That question is what
so
food
everybody
Americans
hates
hate.
Them. My well, wife
not,
loves
not
olives.
Not everybody.
Why are you yelling?
Yeah, what? Well, no, because you don't understand something. That should,
no, no, that's what I'm saying.
Angry.
He's like, well, I love tomatoes. Like, well, my
love
wife
tomatoes.
Loves olives, so.
I love olives, too.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
So go ahead, Eddie. I'm Americans so hate confused. What?
Give me onions, Bones.
But people love onions.
It's polarizing.
I hate onions.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I love onions.
I hate. But that's not the point. It's just Americans. Most Americans hate them. You have a yellow card. Lunchbox is now yellow carded. Show me onions.
What?
I think onions are pretty loved.
Really?
Because I hate them so much. And everybody's like, you're stupid and ugly.
Okay.
Amy?
Broccoli.
I love broccoli.
So do I, but
show
I'm
me
the
broccoli.
Game. Okay, we don't get it. Whatever's happening, we don't get it.
I think I got it.
Lunchbox, what food do Americans hate?
Spam.
I like spam.
Show me spam. Eddie?
Triple the points.
Triple points.
Give me mustard.
Is that a food?
I'm going to win with 8 points.
Amy?
There you are. You're going to be the only one to get one right.
Amy. Bologna.
Show me bologna. Lunchbox?
Mushrooms.
Oh, that's a good one.
Show them mushrooms.
I just won the game.
For 2 points.
No, that's the third round.
Okay, yeah, what's two times three?
Two times three, Dumbo.
What's two times three?
Eddie has eight.
Do the
points.
Math.
No way, that's only the second answer.
What's two times three?
There's no way.
Do the math.
Hey, he's already got a yellow
card.
He's
about to get red carded, for sure.
Hey, keep arguing.
But keep going. Guess another one.
No, argue this. This is good.
Two times three is six.
I'm going to need to see the list.
Go ahead.
Is that possible to see the list?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Oh, it's easier. If you're a vegetarian, you know what you hate? That's too many. That's not enough Americans that are vegetarian.
Meat?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Let's see. Mushrooms. No, you didn't give me a timer. No, you did not count me down. There is no counting down.
70 seconds. No, Ray buzzed
you. No, stop. You didn't do any countdown. There was no countdown. That is not absolutely fair.
Now we're doing quadruple points. Nobody got enough. So we got to do another round.
You can't just take my turn away. You didn't count down.
Like 10 hours. Okay, 3 seconds.
Steak.
People, Americans hate steak?
Who?
Candy.
Huh. We're going to quadruple points. Eddie,
I don't understand.
I'm just not going to let you win because nobody got anything. So if you quadruple points for this one, go ahead.
This is crazy. Let's see. It's got to be a veggie.
There are 8 answers still left on the board. Americans hate what foods? Go.
Bones, give me cabbage. I got cabbage. They hate cabbage. Cabbage is terrible.
I don't think about cabbage much.
Yeah. Because you hate it.
Show me cabbage. Amy?
Hot dog.
Hot dogs. Lunchbox?
Yeah, it's polarizing. Oysters.
Show.
They taste like boogers.
Good one.
Show them for the win.
Oysters. Boogers. They are boogers. I had some. They taste like boogers.
They're not boogers.
Are you picking boogers or oysters?
Oysters, because boogers is not a food.
Show them oysters.
You tried to take it away, and I still came back and took it!
Scuba, what is he on?
Hey, how's that lady taste now? Hey, I told you you're going hungry. Hungry.
Hey, Lauren, hold on. And I can't let Eddie win, but the real rules, you would have won.
Correct.
So you do get the gift card, Lauren.
Yeah!
But Eddie, you don't win.
That's okay.
Okay.
It's all about Lauren.
Because if I would have played by the rules, Eddie would have won. But I just don't want to let the game retire with only one.
I get it.
What else is on the list, please?
Yeah, anchovies one, mushrooms two, black licorice. Anchovies one, though. Sardines and anchovies are not the same thing.
They're not?
I guess not.
I don't know
what anchovies are.
Anchovies.
Mushrooms. I think it's a fish.
Black licorice. Yeah, it's a little fish.
Okay.
Oysters.
Boom.
Beets.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Thought about those.
Brussels sprouts. Okra.
What's wrong with okra?
Blue cheese.
Don't know what that is.
Coconut.
What?
How do you know what blue cheese is?
You don't know what blue cheese is?
Steak.
How do you... Coconut is the...
No, blue cheese. You said you don't know what blue cheese
is. Yeah, I don't know what that... It's just a cheese, huh? I've never had it, I guess.
Blue cheese?
It's got, like, blue in it.
Like when you get wings?
It's white,
you get,
blue,
like,
and green.
Either ranch or blue cheese or both.
Oh, I don't ever get dipping sauce.
But it's also a cheese. It's not. That's a dressing. But there's blue cheese.
Like when I eat my wings, I just eat my wings. I don't dip them anything.
But they bring sauce with it.
So they ask if they want ranch, and I'm like, no, I'm good. But I've never had a bite of blue cheese, I don't think. I don't know what I'm.
Well, Lauren, you're going to get this, okay? So you're going to get the prize. Okay. Stay on the phone, please, too, as well.
She's like, what's happening?
I know. I feel that way, too. I feel like this show is drunk right now. Lunchbox wins. Lauren wins. Everybody wins.
Yeah, let's play that song!
Except, didn't you already play it?
No, we didn't play it,
except all the listeners. The listeners did not win. All right, go ahead.
Yeah! No!
Shout out to the Oyster House in Boston. I had some oysters. They were terrible. Woo!
And they stay there! And they stay there!
Not saying their place was terrible. Yeah, I just don't get oysters.
Why are you like giving somebody reviews on Yelp?
No. I just don't get oysters. The restaurant was great. Their clam chowder was
Delicious.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
This guy's on something today. We had Lauren on in the last segment. She won. We all lost, but she won the game.
She won.
Lauren lives in Oklahoma. Hey, Lauren, so you were calling us to actually talk about your anniversary, right? How long you been married?
11 years on Friday.
Okay, so congratulations.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. I'll be
married a third of my life.
Good for you. Let's see, you're 33.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you got married at 22. Do you feel like that was a good time to get married, a good age to get married?
No, I wouldn't recommend it. But technically, on paper, like when you sign the, I almost said death certificate, the marriage certificate, it had your age.
Yeah.
And I had to sign it as 21 because it was 2 days before my 22nd birthday. Mm. So my husband always thinks that he just has to give me one gift. And I'm like, no, like you have to come up with two.
Got it.
Yeah, birthday and anniversary. Yeah.
So what is your question about being married, or what advice are you looking for or going to give?
So I guess, isn't Lunchbox at like 8 years now? Oh, well, he's kind of up there. Maybe is it seven?
Eddie is actually
18. 18. I just celebrated 18 last week.
Eddie just celebrated 18 years.
Nice, guys.
That's crazy.
Wow.
She asked a question about me. Let's not make it about Eddie. I'm at 8 years.
No, she was asking who was the most.
No, she said, what is Lunchbox at? She didn't say anything about Eddie.
Lauren.
So the question is, for Eddie and Amy, just because how long they have or had been married.
No, Amy's divorced.
Let her talk.
Just let her go.
Let her talk.
Go ahead.
What year for y'all was the hardest? Like they say the first year's the hardest, or the 7 year itch, or like 10 years. So
that's a tough question.
That's really hard.
I know Bobby doesn't really take to what the norms are, so it may not affect you, but it can maybe help other people to be like, hey, you can still get through the 7 year itch, or you can still get through that 10 year hump. Okay. Or
let me ask this in a healthier way. Instead of what year was the hardest.
Sounds like she's having a rough year this year.
Well, it sounds like she's just at 11. Yeah, mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, I don't want it to go in a bad way, or I don't want it to just be like we're going through the motions. So what can we do? So then the question I'm going to ask, because I feel like what she wants to know is, what is something you have to overcome because you get into your patterns so much, you stop paying attention to some of the romantic priorities? Like what can she do to reprioritize herself and her marriage? Okay? Mm. I think that's a good question. The other way, we're all going to get murdered.
We're all going to get in trouble.
Yes, yes. So, Amy, what is your answer to this?
So, our marriage timeline is a little different because Ben was in the Air Force and was gone half the year, all the time. And then some of ours was circumstantial. I think after he got out of the military, quite honestly, that was a huge shift for our family and his identity. And I mean, he would even speak to this, but I also didn't know how to support that. I didn't recognize certain things that were happening. And then, so that ours is a, if there's a situation that happens such as that, I don't know if you could put a year on that. That could have happened to us at year three, or it could have happened to us at year 15. But for us, I think it happened around year six, yeah.
So what did you learn from that, though, that she can hear from you and possibly inject it into her life?
Okay, when one of you, and around that same exact time is close to when my mom was diagnosed with cancer and she died, and we moved, made a move. So you've got big life events that happen, change of job, a move, a death in the family, something like that. Knowing how to best support each other and check in and see how you can show up for them and they can show up for you. We did not do a good job at that at all whatsoever.
Eddie?
Yeah.
18 years, by the way. 18 years. 18 years. The guy's been married for 18 years.
I'm starting to think, you know, like
Lunchbox would make out with your marriage right now.
Because it's 18 years old. It's legal.
No, it depends if it's graduated. It just turned 18, so it's still got a year to go.
Still senior?
Oh, what, yeah. So after? No, it graduated. Maybe they graduated early.
This is so weird.
Okay, go ahead.
So in my marriage, we had like a bunch of, you know, certain things that happened that kind of caused turmoil. So there would be like, you get married, you deal with in-laws. That was a problem. After that, you have kids. That's a problem. You buy a house. Oh my gosh, how do we decorate the house? That becomes a problem. Start a lot of disagreements in there. I think the key, and I know everyone says this, but it's communication. If you communicate it, get ahead of it and say, look, this is bothering me. What do we do about it?
And then talk about it. I don't want to communicate because I want to get in a fight.
Yeah, but you have to talk about it.
I know. I'm supposed to do.
As long as you understand.
I need to go to the doctor and get my BH checked too, but I don't. I'm a human.
I'm telling you, it helps things.
I know you're right.
So it's easier in the long run to, or it's easier in the moment to avoid it, but in the long run, you're doing yourself a disservice.
But that's then why we should all be exercising X amount of hours in, because, I mean, I'm just saying it's much easier to say.
We should.
You have to be the buffalo.
Just saying, when all those things happen, because it's not one thing, it's not the 7-year itch, it's a lot of things that happen.
Got it.
That causes problems in your marriage.
So you would tell her?
Just talk about it. Talk about it. Let your husband, your spouse know how you feel about it, then figure it out.
Lunchbox?
Don't take anything so serious. Like, you guys, I mean, that's the problem. People start taking things so serious. Like, when you're dating and stuff, you're just having fun and, you know, you get married and all of a sudden, oh, no, you start getting mad about little things. Like, why not go back to the dating when you were having fun and, like, the little stuff didn't bother you? Quit getting so tied up and everything being so serious. Just have fun. Who cares?
What would you tell her about it's 11 years? She's, again, starting to maybe be bored.
I'm making this up. Here, leave a card at home with a hotel key in it and say, hey, I'm here. Come see me. Boom. Okay.
And that could be a part
spice
of
it. Spice it up.
Have you done that? Of it.
Who?
Lunchbox.
He's not going to pay for a room.
No, I'm not paying for a hotel room.
Unless he gets from like our promo team here.
You read it in a book?
Yeah, come on now.
Where did this idea come from?
What would you do?
You're asking me what I would do?
Yeah, to avoid, we'll call it the 11-year itch.
Okay, so I think it's just being involved in each other's lives and knowing. Like, codependent behavior is huge in relationships. Oftentimes, that's something we dealt with a lot. I can only speak to my own experience. And there's just a lot of unhealthy patterns that we didn't address early on. And then they morphed into a much bigger problem.
My advice is don't get married till you're 39.
But 40. She's already married.
That's why I'm just telling you, I can speak my own experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Out of the 2 years, Bones, which one, though, is the worst?
The first.
Why?
Not if you're deployed half the year.
True. For me, it was the hardest because I never lived with anybody.
Adjustments?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure.
Probably because you'd gone 39, 40 years.
Yeah, it was probably the hardest for her because here I am. Like, I am who I am.
Yeah.
Good or bad. And so it's mostly just like figuring out the dance of all cohabitation. And for me, trust. You know, she's with like a damaged deer. And so she's constantly raising a damaged deer in a big part of my life.
You're the deer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like relationship wise, I don't have that. I don't have understanding on a lot of the intimacy, not even like Lunchbox is talking about, but just intimacy between humans. I struggle with that because of how I grew up. So she's nurturing a damaged deer back. So I think her answer would be the first year is probably the hardest. Mm. Mine is bold and awesome. She's pretty.
It's a great year.
So obviously we're not experts, but I'm curious if any of this was helpful.
I'm a doctor.
Well, like back to what Lunchbox is saying though, real quick. Like he said, just have fun. Don't take so serious. Like why do we take everything so serious when we get married?
But sometimes things get serious,
like kids and bills and life.
You can't just joke about that.
Death and
you
moves
can
and
joke,
jobs.
But joking ain't gonna make it better. I think it's a personality thing more than anything. But yes, Lauren, how you feel about that?
Say for the record, I'm not deboarding the marriage. I didn't want it to come across that way. We actually renewed our vows last year in the Bahamas. So I was just trying to see if there was anything to what they say about the first year is the hardest, 7th year is the hardest, the 15th year is the hardest, the 10th year, if there's any correlation there to...
No, I think those numbers are just a sign.
Yeah, they also have the 5-year fizzle. Like,
what?
They just find a word, alliteration.
5-year fizzle.
The 2-year tumble.
Yes. The 6th year sucks.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's
Lauren,
a lot.
Congratulations. Eddie, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
And Lauren, we got to get her a gift card to Sonic. She's been on hold there. So thank you. Wait, can we play a song or no?
Nope.
Okay, well, there we go. That's Showbiz, baby.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
How much do finances factor into a relationship?
Well, communication of them, a lot, but I don't know.
Well, according to a new report from Credit Karma, Gen Zers and millennials fight about money with their romantic partners like once a week, which is crazy.
I got married older. So when I got married, I met Caitlin, I was 39. We still don't have kids. We will at some point. She is not pregnant right now, so don't start those rumors on Facebook either. So I can understand if you're young and you get married and you have kids quickly and you're still figuring out your job, your career, how that's a big, it can be a problem. It can be some uncomfortable growth. But for us, she, you know, she got her, went back at her master's degree, was working in tech and oil and gas. And so we don't really fight about it.
The second argument, so money's first. Second is...
taking out the trash? Now that, we, you know...
I did it yesterday.
Nope. It's not being present or being on the phone too much.
Oh, that's number one for me.
Yeah,
that's number one.
And spending time together. And then after that comes in chores. But... the money thing is so important to young people that they're starting to research their date's job to see how much money they make before they go out with them.
Their date's job.
Yeah, like those that are younger and dating.
That's not a thing. You shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't?
Nah. No. We should also normalize how much we make. So everybody say how much they make. Go, Amy.
Okay. So another survey found that 75% of people said, hey, happiness at your job is the key to happiness in life.
I would agree. It's a big part of it.
Happy work, happy life?
Yes. That's the same.
Interesting.
For it.
No, happy wife, happy life.
I know, but the title of the study that I read was...
I do happy work, happy dork.
Happy work, happy life.
Almost rhymes.
Kind of works, though.
Almost rhymes.
Okay, this might save you money. Google Flights is adding a new feature to help travelers figure out the right time to book. You can turn on a price tracking feature as well that's going to notify you when prices drop significantly, or it'll say, hey, this is the time you need to buy. Go. Which I think is like so helpful because they can fluctuate so much.
I naturally turn every notification off as soon as I download anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be an app that just tells me the good notifications. Do you want notifications? Nope. I'm trained to go, nope. I don't want any notifications on anything because I get annoyed with all the things on my phone. So other than the notifications part, I'd be good for that.
So college football coaches, they were asked to name their favorite singers, and country stars dominated.
Yeah, probably because it's a bunch of white guys in their 50s in the Southeast boys. For the most part. Yeah, I mean.
And there's one country artist in particular that was number one overall.
Stapleton.
Eight different college coaches say this guy is their favorite.
Stapleton.
Older.
Oh, George Strait. I mean, there's a lot of schools in Texas, too, and George Strait, Texas is a guy for sure. Down the narrow
flames. Kirby Smart said Luke Bryan.
Everybody, I got. Yeah.
Georgia, obviously.
Who did Sam Pittman say?
I don't have him.
Arkansas's coach.
Mm.
He's probably a George guy.
I bet it was a country. I bet it was like classic rock.
You're probably right.
Other ones on the list. These guys got six.
Coach Lee from Vanderbilt, Beethoven. That guy. Chopin. That guy's smart.
Eric Church and Luke Combs. They come in second time.
All right, thank you.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories. It's time for the good news
with Bobby. Tell me something good.
Back in 2017, there's this mixed breed dog named Scout. He broke out of the animal shelter, put him back in. He broke out again. They were like, how's he getting out of here? Broke out again. They're like, where's he going? Well, they found out. My dog, I know where, if Ella leaves, I know where she likes to go now. She has this one part of the fence she likes to go to. There's another dog back there, and she's not always there, but a lot of times she's in that spot. So they started going, this dog's the same spot every time. Turns out this dog had been going and sneaking out of this place and into a nursing home, and then just sleeping on the couch in the lobby.
Aww.
And then the old people started being friends with the dog, not even knowing where it was coming from.
That's pretty cute.
So you got a dog who's escaping and just finds somewhere warm and fun to go to. And then he's like, this couch is awesome. And people keep petting me. So he keeps going back. And then you have the people there. They're like, this dog is just showing up. So everybody was winning.
And now
the dog goes in and like basically stays there.
Yes. Pets at nursing homes, as long as it's okay for the people to be around, the pets, it's so therapeutic.
Tell me that in an awesome story.
Love it.
And you know what they called that dog?
You said his name was Scout.
Oh, I was going to make it. Dang.
What?
Good point.
What do they call the dog?
It doesn't matter.
Did you say
I forgot I said the dog's name.
For fun.
Nah.
Say we didn't know the dog's name
I'll
was
save
Scout.
The joke for another time.
Oh, okay.
You know, all right. Why do you want to know now?
That's what it is. That's Tell Me Something Good. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends.
In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the investigative morning corny. Guys, let's figure it out.
Come on.
Let's see how many we can get in 90 seconds. Amy's got her computer on, pulling her jokes up. We heard that.
Sorry, I just turned it on.
All right, here we go. Hit it.
The morning corny.
When she finishes the first joke, the timer starts. Go.
Atlanta Falcons and possums have what in common?
Football.
Birds.
Atlanta Falcons and possums. The dirty bird.
They're both dirty.
They play dead.
That come from behind. The Tom Brady owns them. I don't know.
Possums?
Oh, I thought this was like y'all are really into sports. I thought y'all might know.
Oh, don't say we're not into sports because we don't know your joke answer.
I don't know. I feel possums? Like 25 whistles, too much access.
Hold on. Atlanta Falcons and possum. Possums play dead.
They have what in common?
So they play
they
dead.
Play
They're till- dead.
Mm-hmm. They play dead. I guess they're good. They play dead at home and they get killed on the road.
No. we'll take that one though. But we got that. We got play dead. That's one. That's the worst one I ever heard.
It's a mile long.
Yes. Go ahead.
Do you know the difference between the Dallas Cowboys and a dollar bill?
The dollar bill's worth something.
The dollar bill. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
You can still get four quarters from a dollar bill.
I just want to hear the ends of these.
That's so dumb.
She's not taking shots at Eddie. Go ahead.
Nebraska and marijuana have what in common?
They're both high.
They get smoked.
They both get smoked in a bowl.
Oh, these are all just making fun of teams. That's funny, too. Nebraska's playing Colorado this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
So for what reason are Seattle Seahawks players claiming to have swine flu?
Why?
So they don't have to touch the pig skin. Do they not touch the ball a lot?
I don't get that.
I don't get it.
Amy doing sports
skin
jokes.
Is the ball.
But we didn't even get to do the investigative.
Right.
Do
you have another one? Okay, yeah. What do Billy Graham and Jacksonville Jaguars have in common?
Billy Graham.
Who is Billy Graham?
Billy Graham. The old preacher. Evangelist.
And then she said Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, that's Jacksonville, right?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Billy Graham. They both
preach.
Sweat. They both wipe their sweat. I don't know what.
Well, they both make 70,000 people scream. Jay-Z. Jesus Christ. Like, because I guess...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, but for different ways. I don't know. I just thought that'd be fun.
Yeah, we could have done that on another day where we weren't getting to play the game. Yeah,
like, we didn't get to play.
We didn't get to play.
I thought y'all, it would just be
how
fun.
Are we going to get... They play get dead killed on the road, at home, yes. And they get killed on the
I liked
road.
It. I did have fun, though. World? But we'll get them next week, boys.
All right.
But we don't get to sing our song, though.
We didn't get one right.
I don't get this one.
Oh, boy.
What's a mass gathering of Raiders fans called?
What?
Gang rally. Yeah, gang.
Well, you can't say that, Eddie. So wait until I bleep that. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So, yeah, a mass gathering of Raiders fans is called prison?
Yeah,
because they're all, like, gangsters. Raiders fans are like trouble. Prison.
That's right. Eddie said that. Okay.
Right, right. Yeah. But Eddie, what that means is not the same thing.
Do you ever say that about gangs?
But that's...
That was like when they beat up people.
Yes.
No, that's not.
But however,
no,
that's not what that means.
That's not what it means, different meaning.
Got it.
Yeah. Even I know that.
Yeah. By the way, Ray, close up the joke and I'll say something else.
That was the morning corny.
We bleeped it in time. Don't worry, Eddie.
Thankfully.
The FCC will let you be.
Good.
We bleeped it. I'll be in Vegas on Saturday night. If you guys are in Las Vegas or you're nearby, come by. Come to the show. BobbyBones.com, my comedically inspirational show at the Virgin Hotel and Casino. Virgin, the opposite of what Eddie's got bleeped out.
Okay, come on.
Dang, I just read one that is
not what that means.
Yes, it does.
If you want it to mean
no, that's what it means.
That's the only thing it means.
That's not true.
Google it. The current or the last show that you watch with your partner, your significant other. Eddie?
The last show was Hijack.
Oh, it was good. We watched that too.
Yeah.
On Apple Plus.
And we watched that in like 3 days.
It was so good. And it was so corny at very first. I was like, oh, I can't do it. It's going to be too corny. It's awesome.
There were still even parts where I was like, come on. But that's still good.
That Idris Elba is awesome.
Yeah, man. He's pretty cool.
That's a good show. Apple Plus Hijack. Yes. Lunchbox?
Right now, we're watching Big Brother.
Does she like reality television?
Yeah.
Or does she watch it because you love it so much?
No, she likes it too.
That's cool that you guys combined on that because you love it.
I love it. And she likes Big Brother more than I do. Like, we just got into it during COVID because we had nothing to watch, nothing to do. We're like, oh, we never watched it before. She is addicted to it.
Amy, I know. I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
what was the last show you guys watched? MASH? I don't know. Friends?
The last Cheers.
Oh, man.
I mean, honestly, I was going to say, like, season one, Ted Lasso, maybe.
Yeah, okay. That's a good show. We started watching a documentary called Stolen Youth on Hulu. I think it's called Stolen Youth. We stopped watching it because it was...
It's dark.
It's about a cult at a college, and this girl's dad comes in, and, like, it's crazy. We're going to get back to it. It's called Stolen Youth, Inside the Cult at, like, Sarah Lawrence University or something.
Yeesh.
And it's 3 episodes. Dude, it's crazy. I can give you the bit of it. I don't want to ruin too much of it. And I'm not big into crime. And Kaylin's really not either. But we started watching and it just felt too dark for right
now. Why did you guys pick that one?
Because there's 2 versions of it out. There's an acted version and then there's the documentary.
Got it.
And we had just been hearing about it. And so there's all these kids that go to this university. I'm going to mess this up. There's like 8 of them living together. One girl's dad was in jail. But he was in jail, but he was like super connected to he like protected Gorbachev. They, he has all these pictures with real high profile people and he starts to hang around the kids and then he turns him into a cult.
Whoa.
It's.
What?
What time frame? What year was this?
10 years ago?
2010.
Wow.
What kind of a cult?
This is awesome.
Amy's interested.
Wait,
how do I get there to Sarah Lawrence?
No, I don't want, I mean, I am fascinated by.
Cults?
Cult documentaries.
Me too.
I mean, it's pretty interesting.
I'd like to start one.
No.
What?
We kind of have. The B team's awesome. I'm not going to call the whole world.
No. Like, right here. Us, this room.
Let's do it. But we're also watching Winning Time season 2.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It's the Lakers dynasty on HBO, on Max. Yeah. So that's good. I ask about shows because experts stress the importance of watching TV with your spouse. It will bring the two of you closer together without even realizing that you're closer together. You have, again, a shared experience and something that is continuing that you can make a point to continue with you two. A new study found that watching TV with your partner can release bond-boosting hormones, especially if you binge together. It's also important because you talk about the show afterwards and you talk about looking forward to what's going to happen next. Or you talk about not watching the show because we do it together. So that was a whole article I read in Women's Health that I thought was pretty interesting.
It's all fine unless one of them cheats.
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't even care if she cheats if I don't know.
That's
if she
not
just
true.
Watches it with me.
No, but you do know.
No,
because,
no, but...
Because you can tell she's no longer interested when you're watching it together.
As long as she's cool and I don't know, I don't care what she does.
Okay.
If she wants to watch it and doesn't tell me, I'm not affected at all by it.
But it's something you guys did together. You started together, then all of a sudden you see her stray a little bit, you're like, that's weird.
But
she's
as long
not interested.
As she plays it and treats me the same way...
He just wants to be treated the same.
And she's watching it and we're living our life and I don't know the difference.
So it doesn't matter if she's with another dude.
That's not the same thing.
That's totally different.
Same thing, man.
Not, okay,
TV
really?
Show, dude, cheating.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, that's the dumbest statement you've ever said.
No, it's not the same thing. But it does. It hurts my feelings because we started that together.
But if you never know, your feelings aren't hurt.
But I do know. I'm telling you.
But you can't know in this world that I'm delivering to you.
I got you. Okay.
Yes. So watch shows with your significant others. And Amy, rooting for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It'll happen soon.
Yeah. You'll get that.
It's fine. I can watch. I still look forward to watching shows.
I know. I'm jealous. I just watch whatever. I got to wait for her to watch Winning Time now. I start to get mad.
The same told you.
So we were going on vacation and we're going to the airport and we get a text, your flight's been canceled. And so we were going to go to Detroit and then Detroit, we were going to fly over to like Europe somewhere. That was the big long flight. And so flight got canceled. We're supposed to leave at like 12:30 after the show. And so we got put on a flight at 7 p.m. to Minneapolis. And then from Minneapolis, we flew over overseas. So we get there and we check in and they're like, we don't have a ticket for you. Just go on through. We'll give it to you at the gate. It's one of those where we have to be allowed on because we don't have a seat. But what they're doing is they're offering other people money to get off the seat, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So we were those people because we got canceled on. They were offering people $300 if you'll get off. They don't know it's us. And so they're like, okay, cool. So like you have your tickets. You're going. So we go, and it's Caitlin, my wife, and myself, and they say, okay, here are your two tickets. You're upgraded to first class, and here's your ticket, Caitlin. So I have a first class seat now because I've been upgraded.
Oh, no.
And she doesn't. So she's just chilling. You know, it's just a coat. It's just a normal, you know, it's just that. And so I'm like, like, we're married, right? I don't do a grand gesture. It's like, I give her? So.
This is tough.
And it's already happened. So the situation has happened. So I'm not going to tell you. I forgot all about this. But one of my friends thought it was so funny. He said, I should bring it up to you guys. What would you have done, first of all? You get a first class and your wife gets a
coach.
Random. Yeah, whatever. Normal seat. What do you do, Eddie?
Oh, man, I'm thinking about this. I think I would keep my first class ticket.
And she just up. Luck of the draw?
Yeah. I think, and I would say, hey, I've never sat first class. Like, let me just enjoy this.
And she's like, well, I haven't either.
Yeah, but I got the ticket.
Got it. Lunchbox.
I'd tell her, that's show business, baby.
No.
Show business.
Yeah. And I would say, hey, I'll bring you a drink. You know what I mean? I'm going to be up here. I'll see you on the other side. I can come behind the curtain. You want a drink? I'll bring you a glass of champagne. You can make some new friends. And I'm going to be up here in first class living the life because they chose me for a reason. They didn't think you were first class. Maybe you can work your way up.
Okay.
Boom.
What do you think I did?
Oh, you caved like a little, you folded like a lawn chair and handed that ticket to her and said, you sit up here first class. I'll be the little sissy in the back.
Okay, see that.
Yeah, did you do that?
I wouldn't put it that way, but I could also see this happening. You going back and there's maybe three or four people on Caitlin's row and y'all see, hey, is anybody traveling alone next to Caitlin?
What?
And then the first class,
no.
And then you sit back and coach next to Caitlin, and that's a fun surprise for someone that's traveling alone.
That is the dumbest thing you would do.
But probably something you would do.
Yeah.
Why would you give it to a random stranger? What
definitely
are you guys?
Something.
No, you got to enjoy the.
I didn't do anything. I'm just asking.
But
you
you've done something.
Oh boy.
I'm asking what you think.
You definitely
I did.
Didn't keep it. If you tried to give it to her, the only reason why you kept it is because she said no, keep it.
Like, can we have multiple choice?
No, I'm just asking what you thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean,
Lunchbox says I folded like a lawn chair, but I don't think it's folding if I did that. Amy said I did something outside of the two probably possibilities. Eddie?
I still think deep inside you're one of us. You did what me and Lunchbox would do.
And here's the thing. Eddie would never do that.
Yes, I would.
Mm.
You want to make a bet?
Yeah, you have to call your wife to ask if you can bet on this show.
That's true. That's because
that's money that you're spending.
Finance is different.
Ray?
Yeah, I think you took it just because you had to do business work and stuff. So you definitely did first class.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You did not work on the plane, did you?
Does he ever not work, Amy? Like,
yeah,
really?
He's vacation.
Nah, he still works. Vacation.
He found something.
So we have two people that said.
The three of us. Oh, no. Me and Ray said you did. You took the chair. You took the
first class.
Yeah.
And Lunchbox says I didn't. And Amy says I.
You gave the ticket away.
To a stranger.
That's weird.
Donated a kidney on the plane.
No, maybe not. I mean, just sit by Caitlin. Or you offered it to her and she was like, no, I'll stay here. You got the ticket. It's fine. Because I don't
know.
Wait a minute. You guys are forgetting about a different option.
Go ahead.
Bobby went to first class and offered someone some cash to go sit back in the coach.
No way.
Caitlin could come up.
No way.
That's a baller move.
Wait. So Bobby sat in his first class seat.
And whoever's, I don't know on a plane going international, like if there's.
This wasn't international. This is Nashville to Minneapolis.
He definitely paid someone up front.
What?
I thought this was like overseas.
Nashville to Minneapolis.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you paid someone.
You paid someone?
You balled out. And said, here's a stack of cash. Get to the back. Let my wife come sit up here. Honey, pop her in the butt. Say, come on.
2 hours.
Okay, you probably just stayed in the seat. Like, this is, I was thinking all day,
I gave her the seat. I sat in the back.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay.
And she gladly took it.
Yeah, she was like, okay.
Exactly.
Why didn't you do that?
Why is it okay for her to gladly take it and not for you to gladly take it? That's what I don't understand.
Makes no sense, man.
Like these rules that you guys put on these things.
There's no rule. She didn't even say. She was like, "Are you sure you can sit up?" She's like, "I don't care. You can sit up there. You're exactly. way taller than I am."
Yes.
She has long legs.
And I was like, "It's all good. You can have it." And then I was miserable back there, but still. But no, I gave it to her. It's because I wanted to cash it in later too, guys.
Like another favor.
Yeah, it's like...
Like it's football season, golf.
Remember you had first class?
Does that work?
Yeah. It does with us, yeah.
Because the remember when I did this...
But you have to do it while they still remember, though.
Okay.
I cashed it in like the next day. So I did let her have it. And I was very uncomfortable. Even though that's where I would have been anyway. But I was just like, I'm so miserable. Although... but I gave her the ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know,
Lunchbox looks so disgusted with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad, dude. It's sad to see a guy just put his, you know, just...
What?
Put his what?
What? Did you,
his what?
His tail between his legs.
Okay.
His
I don't think that's what you're going to say.
I don't either, but okay.
No, that's what it is. And you just go to the back like, oh, I'm a little sad puppy, you know what I mean? My wife controls everything. I mean, it's just
like... control.
Yeah. When people on the plane sees that, they're like...
No one saw that.
And they see
when
that.
When people see that.
They got no backbone.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
people that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. which is different than empathy, yeah. right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already yeah. see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the news.
Bobby's Big Stories.
Boy, howdy. Listen to this one. A Dallas apartment evicts a tenant, throws all their belongings in a dumpster, and then later realizes wrong unit.
Oh, no. You got to triple check that. Ooh.
That's crazy. A Dallas man says everything he and his daughter own was thrown in a dumpster.
That's terrible.
Oh, man.
Turns out they had the wrong unit number.
Lawsuit.
And now the man says he's out tens of thousands of dollars.
But he owns an apartment complex.
After Johnny Abney spent years building a life for himself and his 9-year-old daughter, everything they own is now gone. The items weren't stolen. They were thrown in the dumpster by the order of the management of the Hamilton, the high-end mid-rise apartment building where Abney lived in the Deep Ellum neighborhood of Dallas. It's all in a police report. Abney filed me return home from work in late July to find his apartment door unlocked and contents cleared out.
Dang.
According to the report's narrative, a leasing agent on site said, and this will make you feel better, there was a misunderstanding.
Well, yeah.
And maintenance access. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That's tough. Okay.
Yeah, how do they make that right?
So there's some stuff about subletting and it goes on and it gets into like legal issues, but I don't know. Obviously that part wasn't supposed to happen, but that's tough.
I just hear that like anytime we're clearing out a home and throwing everything away or
when they wrecking ball a home and it's like the wrong
arm.
Yeah,
like
it's like cutting off the wrong arm. It's surgery.
You know, we need checks and balances.
Yeah.
Like all the way through.
Okay. A Chicago TV news crew was robbed at gunpoint while reporting on a string of robberies.
Whoa.
You know what? That's brave if somebody to rob a news crew while they're doing a news report.
I wonder if they were the robbers.
Well, if not, they were then.
Well,
robbers.
Now they're robbers, but the but robbers they were getting.
But it could have been a
on.
Culture of robbing.
Yeah.
Because wow. in poor neighborhoods, people tend to survive and there's robbing that. So it just could be part of the culture there.
Dang.
But yeah, they were doing this string story. It's happening all over. And then they ended up being robbed themselves. 3 armed men in ski masks pop up with guns.
Oh my goodness.
Crazy. Those are both wild stories. That's from AP. Does hitting things when you're angry help?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, depends what thing.
The wall.
Yeah. Because that might end up hurting you in the long run.
The answer is nope.
Oh,
according to
that's
this.
Not right.
A new study suggests that venting and hitting something with rage fails to release your hostility. Mm. It can even make matters worse. Mm. The anger stays the same or becomes worse when you release it in this way. Experts say try a workout instead.
Well, you're hitting a punching bag.
Also, you don't have an hour if you're angry. I'm very angry and irrational. I think I'll dedicate an hour
right.
to bettering my mental. No, it's irrational. People are doing irrational things. And I think when I'm irrational, it's hard for me to think rationally.
Right. I was saying rational hitting.
I don't know that that's a thing.
No, it is. It is. You're being intentional about making sure
you're being
you
intentionally
get out your,
irrational.
Like a punching
controlled
bag.
Controlled irrational.
That's hitting something. Mm-hmm. And they said workout. So, yes. And if it's fine, like if Eddie has available brooms to break over his knee.
Yeah,
that's
you're
rational.
Really talking about you.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean,
that's okay.
I can hit things, but I feel like I'm doing it in a
controlled environment.
Controlled,
which is
rational.
Great. Love it. And I love it for you.
Manner.
Yes. What about ripping siding off your house in an angry way?
I did that one time to prove a point.
Or blacking out with a man's neck in your right hand.
Oh, that's scuba.
Scuba Steve. He's like, I woke up and the guy was getting choked and it was by me. Oh my God.
And then they split.
It's a little different.
You guys have problems, man. We all have problems.
Yeah.
You guys have problems that manifest themselves physically. I take mine and push it way down deep inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Next up, how much time do you let your younger kids watch their iPad? Amy, answer a day.
A day during the school week, it's getting down to 0, which is awesome. But on the weekend, oh, take it away, kid.
Eddie? I'd say every time we're in the car, so 3-4 times a day.
Child development experts say to limit it as much as possible. New research out of Japan suggests that staring at a screen younger than 5 slows development of both physical and mental skills. Well, it's much better, yes, to let them be active. But but if you're an Olive Garden, they won't shut up.
Exactly.
I get it.
Give them the iPad.
For everybody's sake, let's slow them down. Yeah. Let's slow down there. Because I want my soup and breadsticks, you know? And I'm going to be quiet.
There's too many screen options because there's the iPad screen and then there's the video game and that's a screen. And then if you're watching a movie as a family, that's a screen.
Yeah, I don't consider the movie screens with the family as much of a screen.
Okay. They're doing homework on a computer. That's a screen.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
But I think there's good screen time and bad screen time.
Is this your phone argument?
All my screen time's good.
Right.
Is YouTube totally safe?
Now, what the kind of question is that?
What?
No. It's like, so heroin, right? Is it like, I don't know, healthy for some folks?
No, I mean, no. But YouTube is, it's all good. You can't go, no?
No.
Have you ever been on YouTube, Amy?
Hey, check this thing out called the internet.
Amy, I'm going to send you, I'll just Google just one YouTube video.
Okay. Why do you, there's YouTube Kids that's safe.
No, I know. I have YouTube Kids on my phone. What I'm saying
is, all drivers with a license great drivers?
Nope. I'm asking this specifically because my son was issued a school computer. And it's got YouTube on it, and they can look up whatever. And then I'm shocked by it. And Stashira said, "No, Mom, we have YouTube on our computers. YouTube is always safe."
Well, she saw you coming and going.
Yeah,
and you believed her.
But why would the school allow access to YouTube? Maybe
they may have certain things that are on block.
Yeah, you can block it.
Sure,
but
don't know what they have. I'm just answering your question.
Okay,
is all of YouTube safe? Good
I just
safe?
Thought, oh well, that's
YouTube
awesome.
Can teach you how to make bombs. YouTube can teach you how to hack.
No.
Okay. It can teach you how to fix your washer and dryer, too. Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing I use it for. Is
hacking?
No, fixing things around the house or listening to music.
Mm-hmm. Well, the screen time studies from JAMA Pediatrics, a research journal.
All right.
I hear you.
I'll figure it out.
F1 driver Carlos Sainz reportedly chases down thieves who stole his $300,000 watch in Italy.
In a car?
You know.
Come on.
I thought it was on foot when I read the story.
Because he's a driver. I'm thinking, dude, this could be awesome.
He finished third in the Italian Grand Prix. And then he chased down the thieves who stole a six-figure watch on the streets of Milan. So he must have been on foot.
Okay. He was on foot. They came up, took it, and he chased them.
Police eventually showed up, per the report, took the thieves into custody. He recovered his watch, which is valued at $323,000.
Dang.
From Yahoo. I get you're going to chase. But I'm going to tell you, what the guy with that kind of money also probably has that watch insured. So I wouldn't chase them unless it was like something that your grandpa or dad passed down. Because if they're going to steal, they're going to then try to keep themselves out of trouble or from harm's way, and they may kill you, stab you, because they've already committed a crime. But I get it. Super important to him. But I'm telling you, with that kind of money, that watch was insured. But he must have loved the watch. Or he's just so mad. He's like, okay, I'll show you. Why tech experts are urging all parents to have a secret emoji with their children. And I thought this was excellent. Like, my wife and I have a code word to get out of situations. If it's just certain things we can say, we know, like, oh, they don't want to be here anymore.
You mean like social situations? Uh-huh.
Social or...
What
Why would I say it right now?
Tell everyone.
Amy, I was thinking this. I was about to ask the same question.
No,
what's
wrong with you guys?
No, I'm not changing it because I barely remember it sometimes anyway. Because she'll say it and I'll be like, I don't even know. And then she'll go, Rumpelstiltskin.
Got it.
Yeah.
So in an emergency, an emoji is less conspicuous than a word or a phrase even. So make sure the emoji is easy to remember. Make sure your, kid, if they're texting, that they can send the emoji. It's kind of the emergency emoji. And know what they are. Maybe do two of them. Use one that maybe isn't that commonly used.
Yeah.
And that is the secret sign. Huh. That's from the Daily Mail. I don't encourage the eggplant or the splatter.
No, that can be mistaken.
Yes, it could. Or the peach.
Misinterpreted.
Yeah, you don't want that one.
No, I get it.
Yeah. A dinner-sized plate was found inside this woman's abdomen.
What?
18 months after cesarean. A dinner-sized plate, like a device, a plate. Because a plate, you don't have to eat off a plate.
They left it in?
A surgical tool the size of a dinner plate was found inside a woman's abdomen 18 months after a baby was delivered.
Well,
how do you forget that? Don't you do a checklist of, okay, let's see. We went in with it's not like you're building something from IKEA and you have like one thing left over and you're like, I think we're good. You can't finish on somebody and you have one thing you can't find to be like, you know what, close enough.
But say the surgery's over, right? And you're the technician cleaning all this stuff and you're like, oh crap, where is that thing? And you look at the body, it's already sealed, good to go. You're like, do you say something?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to open that back up and get
Doc. You left your plate in there.
Oh, no.
But it is pure chaos in there. CNN. There's a lot of people, and they just wrap everything up in a big blanket, and they take it out. So, I mean,
How do you know?
Oh, C-section. He's seen it. He's on YouTube every day.
I'm just talking regular birth. They have a bunch of tools that they just throw in a blanket and wrap it up. So I can't imagine this. You were in there?
Yeah. I don't remember that part.
A neurosurgeon investigating a patient's mystery symptom plucks a worm from a woman's brain.
Oh!
Oh.
That's crazy.
Oh. How does that happen?
Freaks me
so
out.
They were doing a biopsy through a hole in a 64-year-old patient's skull, and something was off, and they went in with forceps and pulled out the parasite, eight centimeters, 3 inches, still big. So it was a larva, as a roundworm, and it was in her brain.
I don't even know.
What I have in me? I know same thing. I don't even want to know what's in my BH because it hurts so bad.
I know there's parasites.
I mean, you would know you have worms, right? Like, you'd feel it?
No. Parasites? You don't know you have parasites, you have parasites.
Oh, a 3-inch worm. You would feel it moving in your body.
You don't know.
Really? Wow. When you eat steak, you feel it moving in there?
No. I'm saying, like, in your head, if you felt like...
I don't know that it's, like that. Flipping.
Yeah.
I don't know it's, like, wiggling on a hook,
Eddie. It's not traveling your head?
No, and it's not a worm. I've had intestinal worms as a kid. And it's not like a worm you dig out of the dirt.
Oh, man.
Right. It's still a worm.
Okay. But that's what I was picturing.
It just looks like a worm, but it's not like
it's not a worm.
Eyeballs and...
You don't put it on a bobber. All right, that's new.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
They announced the CMA nominations this year. There's a couple big award shows. This is one of them. A lot of letters. I know it can be confusing, and people are like, I don't know the difference. Sometimes we don't either. But it is a big one. The CMAs are big. The ACMs are big. The BOBs are big. The BU... You mean you don't wait for the Bobs to be announced every
year? No.
Okay, Entertainer of the Year, the big one. The nominees are Luke Combs, which makes sense. Chris Stapleton makes sense. Carrie Underwood makes sense. Morgan Wallen makes sense. And it also makes sense, but this is new. First time ever nominated for Entertainer of the Year. Who do you think is getting that first ever nomination for Entertainer of the Year?
First ever.
Because I had you guys not look.
Huh. Lainey Wilson?
Yes.
Wow.
For Entertainer of the Year.
Wow. That's amazing.
The year of Lainey, man. Wow.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's super cool. Congratulations.
She's that big.
It's getting there.
It has been a really great year for her. Year and a half. Single of the year. So this is how the song sounds. Like the whole thing. The engineer song, you know. Luke Combs, Fast Car. So I remember when we were driving your car. It's a cover. I don't think it should win. I love the song.
Fair enough.
I love his version of it. But I don't. And I know it's a producer award. I'm still going to go no to that one because it's just a cover.
And it sounds like the original.
It's awesome.
It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah, but I think Luke would probably say the same thing.
Okay.
Lainey Wilson, Heart Like a Truck. I got a heart like a truck. Jelly Roll, Need a Favor. This is a big one.
I like that.
Jordan Davis, Next Thing You Know, you're saving money like never before. And Hardy, Wait in the Truck. There you go. Let's call Jordan. See if Jordan's awake even. It's my cell phone up to the microphone. This is going to sound really clunky probably.
Not, he's about to wake up.
He has to know he won. Or not won, but he's nominated. He got 3 nominations.
And he has kids. It's 8:30 or whatever time it is. He's up.
He answers with
an F. He's not on the road.
He answers with an F word on the air.
What's up, buddy?
There he is, everybody! Yeah! Come on!
Am I on the radio right now?
No, man, I just called from my house with all my friends, and we're just sitting around talking about you. Congratulations, buddy.
Dude, thanks, man.
Did you wake up to hear the nominations, or were you awakened by the nominations itself?
No, I was waking by my phone just like going crazy.
That's awesome. So single of the year, that Next Thing You Know song, dude, is so good. I mean, it's so good. I feel like I can sing it. It's so good. Because there are certain songs that get to a point where you sing it so much, you start to feel good about how your voice sounds. Next Thing You Know. I'm like, dude, that song has been a game changer for you. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And like, you know, I mean, even after, you know, last year, like I never thought I'd have a song that could top what By Dirt did for me. And I think Next Thing has done it. But yeah.
Are you getting texts like crazy? Is that your phone? Is that your phone going off? I'll let you go. We just want to tell you. Okay.
I'm good.
He's playing video games.
Oh, it's Call of Duty. He's playing Call of Duty this morning. Hey, dude, I see all your shows are selling out like crazy.
Yeah, they're doing great, man. We're rock and rolling. We're busy, as you know.
Don't even start. I'm not getting into that with you right now because
No.
Because on the surface, I don't like you right now, and we're not cool. But I love you as a friend, and I wanted to be excited for you. But we ain't cool right now.
I know, dude, and I'm trying to find the dates.
No, it's not even that.
For
it's just
what?
Don't
what
worry.
Happened,
nothing,
guys?
Nothing. Jordan is one of my really good friends, but he's a real douche right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I told you, I told you.
And
I
know, you're busy. You're busy. I get it. We're all busy. Hey, I got a world tour too, buddy.
I claimed that. I claimed that in the message. I told you I was being a terrible friend.
I didn't. He didn't even
respond.
2 weeks, he didn't respond. And I'll be passive aggressive with him because I love him. I give him a kidney.
I know. And
I'm like, hey, man, remember your little friends out here selling out amphitheaters?
Yeah.
So
what are y'all trying to do?
Nothing. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right.
We jump right from the dirt right here. But the shows are going great. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up. And it has. It's been a blast. And like I've been last weekend in Nashville was amazing. Off on another run this weekend, and the shows are sold out. So it's cool to see it. It's cool to see it connecting, which is what you always want.
Yeah, I'm bored. But here's the thing. Up for one other category I want to mention that Jordan's up for. Douche of the year.
Oh,
Jordan Davis. Yeah.
He'll win that one.
Yeah, I think he's...
You can go ahead and give that to me, buddy. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, I'm super proud for you. Congratulations on the 3 nominations. I love you. And congratulations on everything. You deserve it, man.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Thank y'all for calling me.
You're welcome. See you, buddy. BBCC, Bobby Bones Cinema Club. That's the group we're in. We watch a movie every 2 weeks, and we... all put one in, we draw it and watch it. We've watched Rope from the 50s.
Oh, how good was that?
It was Eddie's movie. We watched The Stuff, Lunchbox is a horror movie.
Great.
From the 80s. Terrible. We watched Shotgun Wedding, Ray's movie from Amazon.
Not bad.
And yeah. Lunchbox put Showgirls in there, and some of us were like, I'm not watching that porn.
Yeah.
So
it was.
Pass.
We drew this time, and we drew mine. We drew Man on the Moon from Jim Carrey. He played Andy Kaufman, one of the people that have really inspired me my whole life. Andy Kaufman is no longer alive, or is he? That's the question. But it's my favorite movie of all time because, one, Jim Carrey does a great job, and two, I love Andy Kaufman, and I love how brave he was at times when it wasn't even funny. So, that being said, let's go around the room here, and I have you guys' reviews, but because we lost power a minute ago, we're kind of behind. Like, I have all the written ones, so why don't you just tell me what you did or didn't like in your review, Amy?
Okay, well, I went into it expecting not to like it, but I was pleasantly surprised to find myself very interested in this movie and his life. So much so that I was Googling during and after and watching YouTube clips from back in the day that were actually in the movie. Like the David Letterman scene with the wrestler guy.
Yeah, Joey Lawler.
Because
Andy Kaufman would be like, I can beat any girl wrestling. And he would wrestle women much smaller than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and dominate them.
Dominate them. Be like, I told you. And so then Jerry Lawler, it was all set up. I mean, he was a performance
artist.
Right,
yeah, I didn't know that. I was shocked when that part of the movie came up. So then, yes, I start Googling it. And then the original YouTube clip, it's like 10 minutes long, and I watched the whole thing. So that's how interested I was, and how they had even that whole skit planned out. And David, Jerry, and Andy were the only ones involved in it. It's so funny.
He hit him when he really hit him in the face. He hit him.
Yeah,
because Andy Kaufman was like, "Hit me," because we got to sell it.
Okay, but the I watched a more recent clip of Jerry. Like he's way older now, and he was on a podcast 2 years ago, and he was talking about how they knew they needed to be dramatic, but he kind of threw in the slap, and that actually Andy didn't. He's like, people don't believe this, but Andy did not know the slap was coming. And
I don't believe it.
Yeah, well, I know.
And I do believe they put a man on the moon.
Yeah.
So good.
There's a documentary you'll like on Netflix about Jim Carrey playing that character.
Okay.
That messed it up for me, though.
It gets dark.
Because that made me feel like, oh, my God, how could anyone work with him? How difficult.
He lived. I mean, he did. What do you call it when you act?
Method actor.
It's crazy. It's really good if you watch
it. Like he would start fights with a crew.
Being
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tony Clifton thing. That cracked me up.
I love that.
But also... And then, gosh, his own family, when he gets cancer, they're like, yeah.
We don't believe him because he's been lying so much about other stuff.
Right.
Eddie?
Dude, it's always been one of my favorite movies, and I've probably seen it 5 times, but I was like, let me watch this again. Dude, I'm telling you, more and more when I watch that movie, I think he's alive. Like, I really do. Just because at the very end, I don't want to spoil it.
The movie's over 20 years old.
Okay, at the very end, you see the guy who normally plays Tony Clifton.
But that's just for the movie.
I don't know. I think that's them telling us that this is so Andy.
I don't think he's alive. But it was a hilarious.
Well, I guess he'd be pretty old if he was
like
alive.
Elvis. Was he alive ever? Andy Kaufman's daughter's been out before. Like, he's alive. Kidding.
Yeah.
You're doing jokes. Lunchbox?
It started off, I was like, "This, what are we doing?" I had to sit through the credits at the very beginning of the movie. I was like, this is so stupid.
Well, because they're messing with you like Andy Kaufman messed
with people.
I understand,
but I was like, this is so dumb. Like, we know the movie's not over, so just get to the movie.
Hey.
Okay? And I didn't like how they went from him getting fired. He does one stand-up show, and he's on Saturday Night Live. It was like he got famous like that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
a movie.
I understand, but, you know, I want to see how he got famous. Like, how did he get a following? But then it was very interesting. I can't decide if he was the saddest person in the world or the happiest person in the world.
They are not mutually exclusive. Both.
That didn't take anything seriously. The Lipton guy was the funniest part.
Clifton, yeah.
Clifton, whatever. He was the funniest part. I get why he was funny. I don't understand. Like, if you heard, okay, this comedian's coming to town. Last time he went on stage, all he did was read a book.
Nobody was famous from TV.
Why would you go see him?
There was no social media.
They wanted Latka.
Oh, there was
no social media.
I forget about that.
And then Latka from Taxi was coming to town to do comedy. Mm-hmm.
So then they're buying tickets, and then they don't know what they're going to get. Okay.
But that's funny to him.
Yes. Andy Kaufman's performance art was, he just wants to see people's reactions, not even if it's a joke. So he would, you know, take a book out and just start reading it. And everybody's like, and he would read it for 2 hours.
The whole book.
Didn't you say one time he got a tent?
Mm-hmm, set up a tent and sleep in it. On stage, and everybody's like, "When's the joke?" And he went to sleep. And his whole bit was, "Let's see what happens." I love it.
I thought it was interesting how he was on Saturday Night Live and just played a record.
Again, he did Mighty Mouse. Here I come to save the day on the very first ever SNL, and it felt awkward because everybody's watching him going, "Oh no, he's bombing," because he was just sitting up there nervous, and then they're doing, and then all of a sudden the Mighty Mouse part. Here he gets so animated.
Yeah,
look at Andy Kaufman play Elvis on Johnny Carson. One of the funniest things you'll ever see. Because he's so nervous and twitchy, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting movie. Like, I had no idea about this dude. Like,
love
you
it.
Talk
love
about him.
His funeral, honestly, I was emotional. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did he really do that video at his funeral?
Yes.
That's legit. I saw that and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Great, how much time do we have? I know we got to jump.
3 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I gave it 4 out of 5 Tony Clifton's.
Oh, cool. What'd you give it?
4.5. Out of 5.
Give it 5 out of 5.
Morgan, what'd you think about it?
Well, I definitely saw why it's your favorite movie. There's a lot of dark humor, which you tend to like lean into sometimes. So I see why it's your favorite. It didn't pick up for me until like the second half, and then it got really sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt a lot of emotions going through it. And I do love Jim Carrey. I felt he was really good. But I don't know that I loved it as much as they all did. I wasn't as interested. Like 3.5 out of 5 conspiracy theories.
That's a good rating.
Jim Carrey was really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really good.
I know. And I don't even consider one of my favorite actors. But, like, between that and
Ace Ventura?
Truman, no. Oh. No. That, Truman Show, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, they're 3 of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And he happens to play a serious role in all of them.
Okay, so when you come
hold on, Ray, do your review.
Yeah, I appreciated it. I didn't love it. I saw you intertwined throughout it. I gave it 2 out of 5 Tony Clifton's. He was hilarious. I just didn't love Andy Kaufman, but I appreciated it.
I can see where you wouldn't like, where some people just hate that.
But Tony Clifton, hey, you guys, no smoking. He comes out smoking. yeah, I'm smoking.
It was
that was
such
so
bravery.
Funny.
It's like, what are you saying? Shut up. Yeah, come over here. Yeah, shut up. He just starts fighting with people in the audience.
He was opening like for himself as a character.
I love it.
And then once people started to realize it was him, it wasn't him anymore.
He's making fun of the crowd.
Yeah.
Get up here. Come up here on stage. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, wow.
Go ahead, Amy. Like 30 seconds.
Oh, just how he's inspired you. You say you really have, he's been a part of inspiring your career. Like, what is something you've done?
I've never run from awkwardness. I love it. Even if it's on the air or even my stand-up act, I used to do an impression of my dad, my biological father, and I'd just walk off stage.
Yeah.
Like he left, and then I would just stay off stage and let it. So it's little things like that where it's, I don't really get scared of uncomfortableness. I kind of embrace it because we're not conditioned to sit in it. I like sitting in it.
Okay.
If it's on this show, and this show has always been uncomfortable at times. Even from the early days, we would just go, ooh, this is awkward. Let's stay on the air. So that, yes, you try stuff. And, you know, with the Raging Idiots, I used to open for the Raging Idiots going like, I'm going to, and that was kind of inspired by Tony Clifton opening for
Andy Kaufman.
And then him saying, I need Tony Clifton to have a guest role on Taxi. And they're like, who's Tony Clifton? His agent's like, I don't know, man.
And he shows up. And he's like causing so much.
He's smoking everywhere he goes.
Man on the Moon. I'm glad that you guys understood, enjoyed, appreciated.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Here's the song, by the way, that R.E.M. sings. Andy Kaufman. You know?
Goofing on Elvis tunes, baby.
That's it. All right, Bobby Bones Cinema Club will draw for another movie next week. Thank you, guys.
Bones.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Indiana. A 51-year-old man was driving about 9 p.m., swerving all over the road, and police pull him over. Woo, woo! He was driving a Power Wheel Jeep. And
one
he was
of those little ones?
Yeah, one of those little kid ones.
Oh, hilarious. So he's probably sitting on the back. Oh, you know, over the seats?
Yeah, yeah. Like on the very back.
But he was on like the road.
Yeah.
And he was swerving all over, and he got a DUI.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at least it wasn't a big car.
Sure.
And nobody got
hurt.
Nobody
was hurt, yeah.
He should have got that. I watched a video on TikTok of a guy who was driving a Mario Kart car. Very small, a little bigger than one of these Barbie Jeeps, like I'm thinking of with Lunchbox's story, but not full-size car. So he's driving this like little go-kart thing, and he's dressed fully as Mario, and a cop pulls him over. But only because this guy is taking like stuffed turtle shells and stuffed stars and throwing them at cars
behind
him.
Banana peels.
All of that. So the cop pulls him over, and the cop's walking up behind him, and he's like, okay, you know you can't be on the road with this. This is not road legal. The guy's not drunk, but obviously it's illegal to drive a car like that on the road in the city, throwing stuffed animals at things. So the guy goes, yeah, I do. And he goes, I know what I'm going to have to do. And the cop goes, yeah, you're right. He says, I'm going to need some gold coins.
So okay.
The guy, no, I'm not kidding. So the guy gives him some gold coins, like in Mario Kart. And the cop goes, look, man, you can't. He takes the gold coins and he goes, you can't be on the road like this. Just get off the road. Don't do it again. I'm going to give you a ticket, and I'm keeping the gold coins. And the video is over. Hilarious. And the cop was cool. Nobody got hurt. The guy wasn't drunk.
He was just committed to see how far he could go with this.
The cop was like, and this is what I liked about the cop. The cop was like, there are two things I can do here. One, I can go arrest the guy, throw him in prison for 20 hours, get him booked, fined. And what's that going to do? Two, I can just go talk to him and say, don't do it anymore. And also show that I'm a guy, I'm a funny guy too. And I understand what the bit is and just don't do it anymore. And he did that. Yeah. It's so funny.
Well, he got lucky. He got that.
Yeah, he
cop.
Did.
He got lucky. The guy even knew what gold coins on Mario Kart is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead story of the day.
Here's a voicemail we got last night.
Heard Eddie say he had gotten some sinus stuff over the week of vacation. And I just want to point this out, that there's a new strand of COVID going around. And it is actually mainly symptoms are sinus infection. So maybe he should get checked out and just you all watch out for being around him.
Okay. Eddie doesn't have COVID. Eddie, don't start thinking you have COVID.
Okay.
Sick chair.
I started to think I did you after that call.
You don't. You always have something wrong with your sinuses.
Always.
It's every day.
And it's this time of year, man. It's like, and it gets better, and then the pollen count goes up. And I saw the pollen count. It was like red last week.
There's no, stop with the COVID stuff.
Just saying.
But we'll test you anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. I have these shoes below my desk that I put up an Instagram on, and I was like, who wants these shoes? They're golf shoes. They're small. They're like eights. Remember they sent me the wrong size?
Yeah.
Will you go to my Instagram and pick somebody so I can mail it to them?
Okay.
Well, you don't have to do it right this second, but okay. Before we leave work today.
Just like a random pick?
Yeah. If you go down, it's like 15 down. It says, who wants these shoes? They sent me the wrong size, probably because I ordered the wrong size.
Okay.
And I'm just going to give them to a listener. And there's like 400 comments. And so you don't have to write the second unless you want to yell a name out. That's fine. But find somebody that looks deserving, that's not lying. Because people lie for free stuff all the time.
Mm.
I'm like, you need to be able to wear these, not sell them. So
keep scrolling, Amy. I'm a little lower.
Oh, I have
somebody?
I have somebody.
Say a name. Do you know
them? No.
Wait, so you want to see if they match the description, though. Like, they got to have the same shoe size.
Well, I have to just trust it. Okay. I'm not going to FaceTime them and say, show me your feet. That's what that guy's trying to do with Amy.
That'd be weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Amy, who is it?
Okay, so B. Marler Allen.
Okay.
Mainly, this is why.
Comment under her thing just so you can remember it.
Hi.
Yeah, just do that. Be like, hey, I'm going to reach out to you. And then handle all this and mail it. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Abby. Oh,
go ahead.
Just kidding. Okay, so what I love about it is that it is for her son, who's 9, who loves to play golf. And they actually met you at a driving range once. So I feel like that verifies that golf is really happening. And it was his birthday when y'all met and you made his day. So I think him having a pair of golf shoes from you is just...
Okay. Let's Makes do sense. It. All that could have been made up. But
and you have to sign them.
You will ask her. If she wants me to, I will. But sometimes I don't want to just assume people want them signed because they're nice shoes. I ordered them for me, but they're just too small. Okay, so you mark it, screenshot it, both?
Yeah, and I commented.
Cool.
Hi.
Thank you for that. Got that out of the way. Thank you, guys. Bobby Bones Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Get your Bobby Bones on.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. which is different than empathy, yeah. right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.